This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Who is going to be reading? Ibrahim?
No, I'm going to be reading, Sheikh, inshallah.
Okay, just make sure the connection is good.
You can hear me, right? Said...
Yes. Bismillah. قال المؤلف رحمه قال ابن القيم رحمه الله
قال ابن ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى they are like a sheep that has strayed and finds itself between two flocks. It goes to one and then the other and does not stay with any of them. They are standing between two groups of people, all the while searching as to which is the strongest and nobler. يذبذبين بين ذلك لا إلى هؤلاء ولا إلى هؤلاء ومن يضلل الله فلن تجد له سبيلا. They vacillate between the two, not joining these or joining those. If Allah misguides someone, you will not find any way for him to go.
Yes, this metaphor that he says, like a sheep, this came in Hadith Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hadith Ibn Umar in Sahih Muslim. He said that the hypocrites, like a sheep that has strayed and finds itself between two flocks. It goes sometimes this flock, then leave them and go to this one. So they never really settle with any group. This concept, it means that those people, sometimes they lean towards the mu'minin, the belief. It's a mix between two things, iman and kufr, together. So sometimes they feel like leans toward iman and faith and taqwa and sunnah and righteousness. And, you know, and sometimes they will go and leans towards the other one. The other side, the dark side, the bid'ah, the innovations, the indecency, the haram, the fahisha, the way of the disbelievers, and so forth. But this description can fit a lot of people, right? Which is, it could be a sign of hypocrisy. When the persons, because what is the heart of the human beings? Three types of hearts. Dead heart, qalbu mayyit, which is, I mean by that, dead from a spiritual perspective. Yani qalbu mayyit, they don't ever feel the pain of sins. They don't feel the urge of doing, of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't feel anything by missing salah. They don't feel anything by offering salah. Okay? That's dead, done, deal. And there is one which is life, which is so attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so sensitive towards the haram, will not even fall into it. It will not fall for the thing that might lead to it. You know, they also can go to the level where anything that it will not benefit to them in the akhirah, they will not do it. Even if it's not dislike, even if it is not haram, but it's not beneficial in the akhirah, they will avoid it. That's very high level of hayat, al-qalb al-hay. Then you have al-qalb al-mariyid, which is sick, okay? Which is sometimes goes toward the life and sometimes go toward the dead. So basically have these two elements, the light and the darkness, the poison and the nutrition. And whatever takes over, the heart will end up with. So that shows you that this heart is has marad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he described the hypocrite, he said, "Fi qulubihim marad." So their heart is sick. Also, so that's one aspect. So that can be a sign of hypocrisy for so many people who have this, you know, problem when you see yourself, mashallah, one day you're very good in salah and keeping up with all the obligations and duties as a good Muslim, and another day you're not. In the beginning of the day you're this, and the end of the day you're that. That changing and switching is a sign of hypocrisy, and person should fight back now, or at least similar to the way of the hypocrites. Okay, so I'm acting like them, and I'm not supposed to act like them. I'm not supposed to have any of their qualities. Also, there's another aspect of this, which is those people, or another way to look at it, those hypocrites, sometimes with this group, sometimes with that group, sometimes with, you know, not because they know the truth, no, but because they doubt the truth. Not because they feel overcome by their desire. No, it is because they love the desire, because they favor it over it. It's because their heart is not 100% committed. That's why they keep switching and flipping. Okay? So one of the signs of hypocrisy also is when the person, you know, in every fitna comes. You see this person flip, come up with the weirdest ideas, the weirdest positions, you know, and losing part of his deen. Any test that comes, the person change. I change. And the change is not because I found new evidence. The change is not because I'm mature. My new evidence appeared to me. No, the change is because of the weakness in that person to resist the pressure. It's because of the weakness that make the desire take over the heart. Weakness or doubt, because he never really inside deep in his heart was 100% convinced. There is people said, oh, we follow the sunnah, we follow the way of the salaf. But when it not anymore in these days, for example, is the trend and the cool thing, you know? Those who never really had this heart certain about, fully convinced with the way of the Ahlul Sunnah, they were ready to flip. Because the doubt take over them. But as for the change, or the change because of worldly matter, or political positions, or fame, or money, or because of a group, I'm part of the group and I don't want to be cast out, like Hizbi Taiba. You know, these things change the person one day this way, one day this way, and changing because of this is a sign of hypocrisy. But if the person change because of following the truth, because admitting that this is haram, wrong, I'm repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's right. Ibn al-Nawawi rahimahullah spoke about this in a beautiful introduction that he wrote. If I'm not mistaken, in a quiet time. In his introduction for his book in Shafi'i Fiqh, which is Al-Majmu'. And the introduction of that book is a beautiful piece of work, an amazing writing, and it's quite big. But in it, he mentioned a narration from one of the early scholars said, "إن الصادق يتقلب في الحق في اليوم 40 مرة، وإن المنافق على حال واحدة لا يتغير." Hypocrites. A study in one way, that's it, never change. While the truthful person can change 40 times a day. And that explained that he means that it doesn't matter. If I take a position and I find evidence, I'll follow it. Even if I never feel shamed, shy, embarrassed, hesitant to follow the truth when it appeared to me. As for the hypocrites, he will not even care about evidence because he follows his desire. So we have to differentiate between, we have to differentiate between these two concept, the change that happened to people. Like, for example, I heard once somebody was saying, somebody criticized someone else and said, oh, he keeps changing his positions in certain area. I said, changing his position does not make the person praised or criticized. It's why the person changed his position. So if I change my position because of the pressure, because of the appealing, pleasing people, because a change in the methodology that I follow of looking at the evidence, okay, because it's not the cool thing anymore, that's wrong. Because of racism, prejudiced, because of hate. Like I hate some group that I, because I hate them so much, I start, you know, rejecting anything to do with them. Well, that's not how it is. أهل السنة والجماعة يدورون مع الحق أينما كان. They're always following the evidence. The evidence. They always follow what Allah and His Messenger said. And what the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم did. So just to, because sometimes people cannot tell the difference between the two. I hope this is clear. And I'm glad whoever was looking for the quote that you know of it right now. Now, Bismillah.
No. They are on the lookout to see what happens to Ahlul Sunnah. If victory comes their way, they say, were we not with you? And they swear their strongest oaths by Allah on this. If victory goes to the enemies of Ahlul Sunnah, they say to them, do you not know that we have a binding pact of brotherhood with you? And they bring their closeness of lineage as proof for this. Whoever wishes to know them, let them take their description from the words of the Lord of the worlds, and after that he will require no further proof.
Right. And now they say, we are with you, we are from you, we are from Ahl Sunnah. Is it enough for someone to claim that to be truly from Ahl Sunnah? Truly from Ahl Islam? Let's see. Yes, but if there is certain signs, clear signs, we'll expose them. No matter how much they try to hide between the lines, between the people or in the community, Allah will expose them through certain signs. Expose them to themselves, because sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we deceive ourselves before we deceive others. Many times I found it is so sad when you lie to yourself before you lie to others. When you break your promise with yourself before you break promise with others. When you deceive and cheat yourself before deceiving and cheating anyone else. When you're not truthful with yourself before being not truthful with others. When you don't have self-respect before even asking to be respectful of others. When you don't have trust in yourself. So this is something so important when we talk about this, not to point finger at others. And there's a famous say, they said, if you point your finger like this, be careful, you're pointing one this direction and three pointing back to you. So I hope that this reading make us to have a self-reflections. So if we have any one of these signs or any influence by to cleanse ourselves quickly. Bismillah, let's see what are these signs that he is going to mention. Now.
الذين يتربصون بكم فإن كان لكم فتح من الله قالوا ألم نكن معكم وإن كان للكافرين نصيبا قالوا ألم نستحوذ عليكم ونمنعكم من المؤمنين فالله يحكم بينكم يوم القيامة ولن يجعل الله للكافرين على المؤمنين سبيلا. Those who anticipate the worst for you say, were we not with you, whenever you gain a victory from Allah, but if the disbelievers have a success, they say, did we not have the upper hand over you? And yet, in spite of that, keep the believers away from you. Allah will judge between you on the day of judgment. Allah will not give the disbelievers any way against the believers. One who listens to them will be astounded by the silkness and softness of their speech. He will bring Allah to witness for what is in their heart and lies and deceit.
So hold on. That's, he's now talking about number one, okay? Yeah, that you basically, they have a sweet tongue and a nice talk, but they have a very dark, evil, sharp heart. That's full of hatred. Yes.
Continue.
ومن
الناس من يعجبك قوله في الحياة الدنيا ويشهد الله على ما في قلبه وهو على الدل خصام. Among the people there is someone whose words about the worldly life excite your admiration, and he calls Allah to witness what is in his heart, while he is in fact the most hostile of adversaries.
Yeah, this is a very interesting sign. And it is, that's why it's a they are deceiver. They say very good words, you know, and what's in the heart, if you tell them, hey, said, oh, you cannot be my judge. You don't know the intention. You cannot judge my intention. Yeah, I can. I cannot judge your intention, but I can tell that there is a big distance between the words that you use and the action that you do, which shows you there is a big difference between what you say and what you really have in your heart and your mind. And among this, something that's interesting, a statement that Ali radiallahu anhu said, and it's good for you to memorize it or to remember it. قَالْ كَلِمَةْ حَقْ يُرَادُ بِهَا بَاطِلٌ. It's a word of truth, but it's intent for other than the truth. Yeah, what you said is correct, but the point that you're making is not correct. You know, the word is correct. And that's basically when he said this to Al-Khawarij, when he said, إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. All judgment should be referred to Allah. That's pretty true. But that's a statement, it's true. But with the intent that, you know what Ali radiallahu anhu did when he accepted to bring arbitrators and to do an arbitration with Muawiyah and the rest of the Muslim Ummah come to an agreement and to do an arbitration to end the war, they said that's wrong. That's not wrong. He did the right thing. And the Muslim did the right thing. And the Sahaba did the right thing. You cannot use the word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to descend into earth and arbitrate between them. Okay? That's why Al-Quran need an interpreter. If somebody tell you, like some people will say, Ya akhi, alhamdulillah, our Islam is not Christianity. You don't need the religious figures. You don't need a priest between you and Allah. Yeah, that's true. But with the meant, everybody can look at the Quran and understand the religion. Everybody can read the Quran and be, no, not everybody. Everybody can be a scholar, but not everybody is a scholar. So sometimes hypocrites use this kind of words, which is, you know, yeah, freedom. Yeah, you know, for example, woman rights, men rights, human rights. Yeah, these are absolutely correct terms, good concepts. But what do you intend by that? What you meant by that? What you want to reach? What's the conclusion that you're trying to do? Isn't Islam talk about, you know, consulting and shura and stuff like that? Yeah. Yeah, but what you're trying to establish, is you want to take that democratic concept within Western civilization today and say that this is 100% Islam. It's exactly the same thing people said in the past when they talk about social justice and social equality in Islam and these kind of good work. And what they tried to do in the past, they tried to promote communism and socialism. And they said Islam, al-ishtirakiyya fil Islam, socialism, Islam, blah, blah, blah. So sometimes people use that. But if you dig deep in the heart, and that's the key point, those people who are saying this, they're not coming from a foundation that based on believing in Allah and His Messenger. They actually believe in socialism, capitalism, and whatever feminism party movement or this movement or, you know, this is their foundation. This is what they're coming from. Then what they do, they bring the Quran and Sunnah, they bring the religion just as a patch. As a layer. So the word is good, but what's really coming from is a bad position. Somebody doesn't want to follow the rules, want to interpret religion according to the rules, so don't feel bad. And sometimes this is, can be very, very tricky. People say, we want tanzih. Tanzih, what's tanzih? They said, yeah, we don't want Allah to be look like His creation. Excellent. Everybody agree with that? Absolutely. Allah's not like His creation. Yeah. So what do? We cannot accept Allah's names and attributes as it appear. Allah cannot be above His throne. If He's above His throne, it means He will be like us above that. So what are they coming from? Is not really the tanzih. If you dig deeper, you'll find where they're coming from. It's in their mind, in their heart, that if Allah above His throne, it means He is like us, which is tashbih, tamthil. They're saying Allah is like us. When He's above something, it means He needs the thing that is underneath of Him. Because of that wrong way of viewing God and viewing Allah, they came to come up with tanzih. So what do? We cancel this. Either by saying, we don't know what it means, like the Mufawwidah, the later version of the Asha'ira. You know, some of them took that position. Or some of them said, no, you know what? We straight make ta'wil to it. It means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala control His throne. Or just give it another meaning. Or some deny it completely. And this under the way of saying, we want to keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala far from Him. The wording is good. But that's a deceiving. Because if you look into, so that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why some of these guys, yani, were put in a corner where they were asked. When they were asked. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said to us in the Quran that he's above his throne and above the world. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that and he pointed up. What's all this? See, when you put them that, what is in the heart comes. Some of them explicitly said. What Ibn Sina said before and the philosophers said. And those are not philosophers. This is among the Mutakallimat Sifatiyya and people like Ar-Razi and others. They come to tell you that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say that to people because those people, which is referring to Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Sahaba, a new Muslim, they're so used to worship idols and they used to be pagans. So if God for them is a human, so Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will give a description similar to what humans are, just to make it closer to him because they could not understand this concept. So Allah used words that it is, make Allah looks like the thing that they're familiar with so they can understand him. Otherwise, it is beyond their ability to understand. That's why the later generations, yani, mashallah, they are the smart one who could figure it out. If this is not hypocrisy, I don't know what's hypocrisy. Sign of hypocrisy, obviously. That's dangerous. When you start, you know, bringing evil meanings and you put just a nice label over it. And that's one of the old trick of the shaitan. And the person should be careful from it. And I can go hundreds of examples. Like, we love Ahlul Bayt, we love, you know, and in the end, it's all about cursing the Sahaba, hate for the Sahaba. That's nothing to do literally with Ahlul Bayt and the love for Ahlul Bayt, like some of the Shia do. You know, and so forth. Some people said it's all about being intellectual and open. No, it's about you don't want to be an obedient servant to Allah. That's what it is. Oh, it's about Allah's justice. It's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's his joy. And they talk about justice of God and the qadr. No, it's really, really inside because you doubt Allah. You hate Allah. You don't believe in Allah. That's what it is. That's why you see what you say. So if you dig deep, you see the hypocrisy deep layered in the heart. Nasallahu alayhi wa sallam. Go ahead.
What they enjoin upon their followers entails corrupting them and spreading corruption in the land. What they prohibit their followers from entails what would be better for them in this life and the hereafter. You would see one of them amongst the believers praying and remembering Allah. But وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ
Hold on. Just one time. In the Arabic one, there is more than that. The Arabic text that I see, it says he's among the believers praying and remembering Allah. Also, it says here in my Arabic text, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being among az-zuhad, and these are ascetics, okay? And he looked like so committed to religion and so practicing wal-ijtihad. Mm-hmm. But,
وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُفْسِدَ فِيهَا وَيُهْلِكَ الْحَرْثَ وَالنَّسْلِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادِ. When he leaves you, he goes about the earth corrupting it, destroying crops and animals. Allah does not love corruption.
Yeah, you see today, all this war was declared under the banner of what? Freedom for the Iraqis, freedom for Afghanis, freedom for the South American, like whatever country, you know, all these, like the Nazi when they declare war, you know, the banner was always like but the reality is, it's destroying life. These dictators, these oppressive regimes, it's like Fir'aun. He said, I'm worried that Musa will spread corruption. يُظْهِرَ فِي الْأَرْضِ الْفَسَادِ Musa. And the same thing today. They sentenced to jail, they even killed, they get banned, they get this, and we worry about, creating incoherence in society. You hear this a lot today. And you just remember, that's one of the old tricks of the shaitan. Yes.
They are all similar, enjoining the evil after having committed it themselves and prohibiting the good after having left it themselves. They are miserly in giving their wealth in the way of Allah.
This is beautiful. This is beautiful. Pay attention to what he's saying. This is so interesting. They said, enjoining the evil after having committed it themselves. I was asking one of the brothers who invested so much of his time in modern days searching about this whole entire movement or this like thing that we have in these days about sexuality and this whole entire realm and comes with it and all these new things that happen in society and they just transgenders and stuff like that. Like, what's going on? Like, there's things I couldn't wrap my head around it. Why? Then he told me, Sheikh, after all these years of research, and he's an academic researcher, he said, after all these research and stuff like that, I found out that if you go really deep, many of the people who start these ideologies and spread it, and people of influence, like influential people, if they are mainly from the, from the media celebrities and stuff like that. He said, Sheikh, it's actually they themselves do stuff like that. Then they want the rest of the world to join. Leave themselves sick. But I don't want to be the only one sick. Not the only one who's like strange. يَدْرُوا حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيمِ Shaitan doesn't want to go to hellfire by himself. He said, and he started giving me examples of things like modern day, how it started by who and who. And it's very interesting when he says here, after they themselves commit the evil, they start encouraging people to do it. And because it's the haq and the truth and the act and the commitment to the deen is so heavy for them to commit to it, so they start asking people not to commit to it. Left it themselves, they start prohibiting people to do what's good. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. That's different than the believers who do haram things, who leave the obligations. But they will never stop people from doing the obligation. They will never prohibit people from doing the right thing. Do not encourage people to do what's wrong. And if you do, that's a hypocrisy, a'udhu billah. But if you do the sin or you leave the wajib because of your weakness, you're sad, you're sorry, you repent to Allah, you feel guilty about it. No. They are?
They are miserly in giving their wealth in the way of Allah, in ways that He loves it to be spent. How many times has Allah reminded them of the blessings He has conferred upon them, yet they turn away and abandon Him?
In the way He loves it to be spent. They might spend their money in other ways, in other areas, but in the way He loves it to be spent is a different story. Uh-huh.
listen, believers, to what he says about them. Al-munafiquna wal-munafiqatu ba'duhum min ba'd ya'muruna bil-munkari wa yanhawna 'anil ma'rufi wa yaqbiduna bi-aydihim nasallaha fa nasiyahum innal munafiqina humul fasiqun. The men and women of the hypocrites are as bad as one another. They command what is wrong and forbid what is right and keep their fists tightly closed. They have forgotten Allah, so he has forgotten them. The hypocrites are deviators.
And keep their fists tight closed. I don't know what you guys think of that translation. Correct me if I'm wrong. When I read this as a non-English speaker, my English is not first language. And keep their fist tight closed. I understand that they have their hand in a fist position, but they keep it tight and closed. Is my understanding correct?
Yeah, so it's a saying in English, Sheikh, it means tight-fisted. You're very stingy. So you keep your fist closed.
You keep their fist tightly closed. Yeah, but what I'm trying to tell you here, that there is a beautiful meaning in Arabic, in the Arabic word. The normal state of your hand is not fist. What's the normal state of your hand?
Open.
Yes, salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the fitrah in you to have an open hand, to welcome people, to shake hands, to give, to help, to lend. But you have to change that fitrah to hold. And because it's against the fitrah, you have to be tight. And you have to hold it close to you. And subhanAllah, they go so much against how Allah wants them to be, that they have to be put so much effort in it, which it shows you that hypocrisy is different than sin, because sin is something that accidental, something that temporary, something that there is no evil intention behind it, 100%, versus hypocrisy. It's an effort to do what is wrong. Anyway, Nasullah, they've forgotten Allah, he has forgotten them. Does Allah forget?
No.
So, but he said here, he has forgotten them, yani Allah. The word forget in Arabic and in English, ironically, carry two meanings. You forget about something intentionally, or you forget about it unintentionally. Forgetting about unintentionally, which is forgetfulness, the lack of memory, knowledge, distractions, that's absolutely not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا أَزُبُ عَنْهُمْ إِلْقَالُ ذَرَّهُ. Nothing can be hidden from him, he's not aware of. But forgetting that intentionally, it means abandoning. It means forsake sometimes, let them down. Intentionally, ignoring them. Ignoring someone is based on knowledge, not based on ignorance. I know you and I ignore you. That's what it meant here. To tell me, hey, what do you think of going to visit, for example, Edinburgh? Yeah, forget about it. It means just leave it alone. That's right. Even in English, we say that. Forget about him. Just ignore him. That's what it meant to you. Mm-hmm.
If you invite them to judge by the clear important, by the clear import of the revelation, you will see them turn away in aversion. If you could see their reality, you would see a vast gulf between them and the truth, and you would see the stringency with which they turn away from the revelation. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ رَأَيْتَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يَصُدُّونَ عَنكَ صُدُودًا. When they are told, come to what Allah has sent down and to the messenger, you will see the hypocrites turn away from you completely. How can they be successful and guided after their intellect?
Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah used a word a couple of times, or several times actually, as well as Ibn Taymiyyah before, as well as one person who used it a lot, who used a lot this term, the Yemeni scholars, Mu'allimi, rahimahullah, jami'an. Allah have mercy on all of them. They said something interesting about the bid'ah, the view of innovations. He said the way they deal with the evidence from the Quran or Sunnah, they look at the evidence that goes against their opinions, their principles, their tariqah, their way, okay, against their shuyukh, their leaders, whatever it is they have. Out of the Quran and the Sunnah as a source of guidance. Whenever the Quran and Sunnah goes against it, they deal with these verses like when you have someone who basically rebel against you. Somebody like when you have a thief coming into the house, you try to push him in any way possible to protect yourself from it. He said, that's how they are. Daf' as-sa'id, he used the word. Which is basically like someone who's trying to harm you and trying to protect yourself in any way possible from it. So that's how they deal with the verse. They find any way just to make sure that it does not contradict what they establish. That is hypocrisy, because that means the reference is not the Quran and Sunnah. The reference is the haqq, the default is what you have established from your own or whatever you arrived to in your own ijtihad. Or your sheikh, or your madhab, or your tariqah. That's why some of them said, any hadith or any verse that goes against what Abu Hanifa, for example, said, this verse either abrogated, even if I don't have a proof, it must be abrogated, or it must be basically has another interpretation than what it seems to be, even if we don't know what's the interpretation. There is an interpretation. What is it? Even if we don't know it, but there is. Because it cannot contradict what our Imam said. And this hadith, if it is authentic, if it is a hadith, it could be weak. And even if it's everything look check and look authentic, but there is something in it to make it weak. Just because it goes against what, and that's one of the Usuliyin said that. One of the people who wrote an Usul al-Fiqh and Usul al-Ahnaf. May Allah forgive him. The Busi. He's a famous Usuli. That's sign of hypocrisy. When anything else became above what Allah and His Messenger said. So what about those who favor, you know, also their logics, their principles, and obviously those who prefer their culture, or their the culture and they're living in, and those who will adhere to the leaders, their political group and ideologies. All this is, and to reject the Quran and to reject the truth, all this is just like The hypocrites. Now,
how can they be successful and guided after their intellects and religion have been afflicted so? Truly unlikely is it that they will be saved from the mere and misguidance they are in. They have bought disbelief at the expense of faith, and what trade is there as profitless as this? They have exchanged the choicest sealed wine for blazing fire. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ ثُمَّ جَاءَكَ يَحْلِفُونَ
جَاءُكَ
يَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ إِنْ أَرَدْنَا إِلَّا أَحْسَنًا
إِحْسَانًا وَتَوْفِيقًا
How will it be when a disaster strikes them because of what they have done, and then they come to you swearing by Allah, we desired nothing but good and reconciliation.
Yes, salam. Reconciliation. That's always, we're trying to reconciliate between reality and Sharia, between culture and Islam, between modernity and authenticity. We try every time, it's a reconciliation. It always comes this way. And the reality is, they try to reconciliate between what Allah says and what they say, what Allah ordained and what they desire. Yes.
The vileness of doubts and suspicion cling firmly to their hearts, and they can find no way of absolution from them. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ
The violence, hold on. The violence of doubts and suspicion climbing firmly in their heart. The way it's in Arabic written, it's different a little bit. He said, نَشَبَ زُقُومُ الشُّبَهِ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. He said that is, it's a double metaphor. He said, the doubts are like a zakum. You know what is zakum? Zakum, it's the fruit in hellfire. He said the doubt is like a zakum, climbing firmly in their heart. In their heart. So, and him saying that these doubts, like a zakum of hellfire, give you the indication that this kind of doubt lead to hellfire. And it's evil.
أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ وَعِذْهُمْ وَقُلْ لَهُمْ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَوْلًا بَلِيغًا. Allah knows what is in such people's hearts, so turn away from them and warn them and speak to them with words that take effect.
I have a question for you guys. If you know that this is so wrong like that, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah says, turn away from them. But turning away from them, you might say, khalas, turn them completely. No, he still say, warn them and speak to them with words that take effect. Why would I speak to them? Why would I give them reminder and admonition? Why don't I just ignore them and leave them? And why he said ignore them and leave them, then also, isn't that contradicting kind of? Leave them, turn away from them, but still admonition them, remind them, tell them a good, great reminder. Yani, how can I understand this? What Allah exactly wants from us?
Ignore what they are trying to establish or what they're trying to practice, but still remind them to come back to the deen or to the truth. So one of our duty is to ensure, try to guide as many of us people we can. It's one of our duties. So you,
good.
Allah is continuing to tell us your duty needs to be fulfilled.
Good. Excellent. Ali. Anybody else? I can't read, so it's going to be hard. To stop them from influencing others. So Hafsa saying, if you talk to them, they will know that you're aware of what they're doing. So that may maybe make them stop and hit the brake. And they know that you know what they're doing and when you know who they are. You're not deceived by them. That's why you warn them, you advise them. Good point. What else? Ali said something important. He said, that's our duty. Look what Allah says. Allah knows what's in their hearts. It's so corrupt. But yet we've been asked to give them da'wah. Because it's our duty. We don't know what's in the hearts. Leave this to Allah. You do your role. You do your job. So even though they are so corrupt, they are hypocrites, you still give them da'wah. And I'm saying this because sometimes I feel like we give up in giving da'wah and we don't deal with people who are so far away from goodness or Islam or even Muslims, but they're far away from the straight path. We just stop giving them da'wah. We don't treat them like people who deserve da'wah. We treat them like enemy, like as if we're on the battlefield. We're not. We're living together. We're in civil society. We debate things. We talk to each other. Like sometimes even with this whole entire, you know, movement like LGBT community, stuff like that, and things like this, sometimes I feel like we forget also that we should be giving da'wah. It's not just about like fight and disagreement and no, but still there is a da'wah should be, a sense of da'wah to be given. Someone, for example, who's far away from the haq, I still need to talk to them and to remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I don't give hope in anyone. Give up hope in anyone. Anybody has another point in regard to this? There's a very good point in the verse. I'll give you a hint. فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ Turn away from them. If you stay too close to hypocrites, you will be like them. Don't let the feeling and the importance and the duty of giving them da'wah and advising them and debating with them and talking to them and reminding them. Don't let make you too close. Because that's going to affect you. So you keep your distance to protect yourself. Another thing. They're not your main concern. But yet, you give advice, yet you do your duty to them. But that should not be the goal. There's a difference between a warrior or what you're looking for, someone to fight with, someone to debate, someone who build society, build community, bring people together, focus on what will help people in this dunya and the akhirah. So the word a'rad, turn away from them, is so powerful. It creates a balance in the relationship. If you add to it, remind them and talk to them. Go ahead. I hope that makes sense to you.
May they perish. How distant they are from the reality of faith and how false their claim to cognizance is. They are one thing, and the followers of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are something totally different. Allah, mighty and magnificent, has taken an oath in his book upon himself, the greatness of which will be realized by those endowed with spiritual insight, those whose hearts are fearful of him by way of magnification and exaltation. Allah, exalted is he, says, warning his friends and alerting us to the state of these people. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. No, by your Lord, they are not believers until they make you their judge in all the disputes that break out between them, and then find no resistance within themselves to what you decide and submit themselves completely. You will find one of...
Anybody know what shajara means? I mean, he translated. Shajara means break out, a dispute that break out. But what shajara comes from?
Tree.
Tree.
What's shajara? What's the connection? What tree has to do with the dispute that break out between them?
So it starts from a point and then it branches out into different things.
Yeah, because shajar tree is like this, and that's what dispute is. And the tree break out, comes out from the line. Same thing with the dispute comes out. It's not the default rules that there is a dispute. It break out like the way the tree break out from the line. Also, tree break out from a seed. And the dispute has a seed, which is the doubts in the heart. It's a very powerful way of saying it. Very powerful. Yes.
You will find one of them taking oaths before commencing his words, without anyone even objecting to what he says, because he knows that the hearts of the believers do not find tranquility in what he says. Therefore, he uses the oath as a way of securing himself from any suspicions that may come his way. It is in the same way that people given to doubts and misgivings lie, making oaths in order to beguile the listener into thinking they are telling the truth. اتخذوا أيمانهم جنة اتخذوا أيمانهم جنة فصدوا عن سبيل الله إنهم ساء ما كانوا يعملون. They made their oaths a cloak and barred the way of Allah. What they have done is truly evil. May they perish. They embark upon the journey across the great white plain with the caravan of faith. Then seeing the length of the journey and how far its destination was made them turn on their heels and return. They think they have found a good life and they sleep comfortably in their beds. But neither in that life have they really lived, and neither in that slumber have they found any real benefit. It is not long till when a caller will give a single cry and they will all stand forth, leaving their life behind.
A single what? A single what? A single what?
A single cry. And they will
cry means what that mean?
Cry as in like a scream, I think, or a shout.
Yeah, it's better he said a single call. Okay, I don't know.
And they will all stand forth, leaving their life behind, hungry, not feeling any form of satiation. What will their state be at the time of their meeting? They knew that then they rejected. They saw the truth, then they became blinded to it. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ كَفَرُوا فَطُبِعَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. That is because they have believed and returned to disbelief. So their hearts are sealed up and they cannot understand. The best of men in physical appearance, the most enchanting of tongues, the nicest words, yet the most vile of hearts. They are like propped up planks of wood devoid of fruit. They have been severed from the source of their growth, and as such rest on a wall to keep it upright so that people do not walk over them. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ وَإِن يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ خُشُبٌ مُسَنَّدَةٌ يَحْسَبُونَ كُلَّ صَيْحَةٍ عَلَيْهِمْ هُمُ الْعَدُوُّ فَاحْذَرْهُمْ قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَنَّا يُؤْفَقُونَ. When you see them, their outward form appeals to you, and if they speak, you listen to what they say, but they are like propped up planks of wood. They imagine every cry to be against them. They are the enemy, so beware of them. Allah fight them, how they are perverted.
Jazakallah khair. After that, he's going to talk about the salah. But just a quick comment on something that he mentioned. He said when they swear by Allah, they are upon the truth just to convince the believer. And they put forth all these claim and use all these words, Islamic words, Islamic appearance, just to claim that they are upon the truth. Let's just go back to a very old say that we have in English, don't judge a book by its cover. You know, that's very, very true. That cover can deceive you, you know, the look, the wording. So don't just because somebody has a long beard or an imama on his head or a title before his name, or a claim, I'm a mujahid fi sabilillah, and the reality is a person who spread corruption on earth, killing innocent people, turning people away from the religion. Somebody claimed that he is a revivalist and he is nothing but an innovator. Somebody that he claimed upon the sunnah and upon the way to salaf. Okay, like I remember once a guy from England, I met him here in America, and he's claimed that he's to be upon the Salafi way and the Salafi way. Tariqah and stuff like that. Then he was mentioning something that I said, but this is not allowed in Islam. Using bad language, cursing people, using bad language is not the right way of talking. Okay. Then he told me, you know what? So-and-so from the Tabi'een said this about someone. He said about someone, you're a cockroach. Like he mentioned someone like a, or like you're like a mule, like an animal, like we say a pig, you know, stuff like that. Then he said, and he mentioned that one of the Salaf came out and he slapped someone who was talking bid'ah. We have to be strong in stopping the bid'ah. And he said, I have a question. Did the Prophet ever refer to someone like a pig or a dog or an animal? Didn't Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam slap somebody in his face because he was saying something wrong? He even told us we're not allowed to slap someone in the face no matter what. It's just not because you are a person who is from inside. Before you grow that beard and before you know what the Salaf is and Islam is and Sunnah, you were the thug in some hoods, you know? In a gang or whatever you were, and you still monster from inside, you bring this to cover it and dress it with the sunnah and the narration of the salaf and stuff like that. Why I'm saying dress was not true, because the moment you confront them, you said, who is your role model? Immediately a sincere believer said, that's right, I'll not leave the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the way of anyone, or the example of any other than the Prophet. I only would look at an example of practice of some who said that those scholars are infallible or role model. The role model is what they all agree upon, and they didn't agree upon this kind of behavior, this kind of language, this kind of violence. You see? But that shows you that there is a level of hypocrisy. When you call them to what they try to promote, whatever corruption inside their hearts and mind, they promote it by making it sound like religious. They put that, slap that label on it. And be very careful. But from you, to be deceived by that, let's always go back. We follow what Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said. And there's also another observation. If you study the sects and the deviant sects in Islam, you'll find them are so good in the following area. And that's something Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned. He said, all Ahlul Bidah are excellent in Arabic language, are excellent in poetry, and a good storytellers, and good in history. But they are very weak in the Quran and Sunnah and Hadith and know the Ahadith and the Athar al-Sahaba. And that's 100% true in the past and in the modern days. You'll find people bring you all this historical background and historical perspectives and blah, blah, blah. Talk for hours about stories and very eloquent and making big words. But it comes deep into fiqh, understanding what's the fuqaha, what's the madhab said, what's the karam al-muhaqqiqeen, what's the athar al-sahaba, the tabi'een. You'll find the person very shallow, know nothing. So that's something, why? Because that's how you promote. It's so hard to, that's why the road is so long. He gave you the example. He saw the road, so faith is very long. I asked once someone, I said, in America, why so many white people go to Sufism? I said, I'm still wondering. Like most of the Sufis, like, that who became Sufi Muslim and became Sufi's convert are white people. Why? Then he has a theory. He said, because when you, he himself, Caucasian, white. So he said to me, interestingly, he said, and I don't like this white, black, but I'm just telling you the story. But it's an interesting observation that I have noticed. So this brother told me, he said, Sheikh Walid, if you come from a background like mine, for example, not all of white is the same thing, but definitely we're a majority. So we have this instant advantage in society, especially if someone comes from certain background, certain areas, certain family, you know, working class, stuff like that. We have that feeling of, you know, like the majority have that feeling of ownership and advancement. When I became Muslim, all my life, my social status is here. When I became Muslim, I go all the way back in the line. I don't know the Quran, I don't know Hadith, I don't know Arabic, I go all the way back in the line. And I see the line, I'm far away from these guys. And many of us are not very good actually in adopting a new language and stuff like that. So what Sufism offer us, that you don't need to be in that long line. Some movement and feelings, stuff like that. All my heart through my Lord, and that's it. Like a quick fix. So a lot of us feel like it's so good because it put me on the top of the list right away. Advanced me in no time. There's no need for ilm. So regardless of, I would generalize this to all Sufis, but definitely that's existential Sufism. It says in many, a group of it, but not all of them. So it's interesting, like the point of saying what Ibn al-Qayyim said, some people see this long road, said it's too much to go. They're not willing to go that far. But you know what they missed? What they missed that in Islam, you don't have to reach the end of the road. What's important is to die while you are on the road. And if you understand that, you'll not see that road very long. If that makes sense to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the straight path until we meet him. Allahumma ameen. Okay, sorry, we took 60 minutes over, but that's for 2 weeks. Haven't seen you guys. I missed you last week. But if somebody has a quick comment, otherwise we'll call it for tonight. Okay, I guess not. No problem. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh.
JazakAllah khair.